So we're chatting about your new book, about your journey, about all of the amazing things that you've learned along the way about time management. And it's one of those tricky topics because in modern times, I think so many of us feel overscheduled, overcommitted, exhausted, we're not getting enough sleep. And in many cases, we're also feeling guilty about all the things that we're not getting done. So we're going to talk about all of that good stuff. But first, I want to start with your journey, because I've known you for several years. And when we first met, your focus was time management coaching. So talk to me about how you started that business.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's been fun to know you for quite a while. So I never thought I would be a time management coach. It wasn't like I went to school for this or something. But what happened is that with my first business, I did writing, editing, and photo styling for about 50 different magazines around the country. And I went into that business without a plan. I didn't have a sense of when I would be working or not working or what hours were reasonable. And I, at first, didn't care. I was just excited that my business was working and thriving. But after a few years, I just felt so frustrated because I felt like there was never a time when I could stop working without feeling guilty. And so, for my own personal benefit, I figured out how to limit my hours, not work at night, not work on the weekends. And then my entrepreneur friends were like, "Elizabeth, this is amazing. You should help other people with this process of not being stressed out." And that led to over 8.5 years now of working one-on-one as well as with groups of people around the world on how to invest their time. So not just plan or organize, but really make sure that they're putting their time into what matters most.
Yeah, I think that's important because I find that a lot of times when people have some type of transition, either they move to a new city, they change careers, they get a promotion, they have a baby, the way they manage their time changes. And to your point, it's very easy for it to just kind of evaporate and they're not investing it. They're just kind of wondering where it all went. So, what has it looked like for you to work with individuals on time management coaching?
Well, I tend to have two different types of clients come to me. They both have the same core issue of being overwhelmed, but it just manifests in different ways. So, one sort of client would be someone that's working all the time, totally overwhelmed, never feels like they can take a break. It's just totally stressed out. And then the other kind of client I have are people that are also overwhelmed, but the way that's exhibiting itself is that they are doing nothing. They're so overwhelmed, they don't know where to start. And so they procrastinate and don't get things done and then just feel worse and worse about what they're doing. And in both cases, I have either a 3 or 6 month time coaching program that we work together on basically uncovering the root issues of why they're doing what they're doing, the limiting beliefs holding them back in those areas, and then really working on skill building of how do you plan, how do you set boundaries, how do you say no, how do you develop routines so that you can really start to live the life you want to live versus living the life you feel like you have to live.
Yeah, that's really important because a lot of us feel like the things we're doing are out of obligation. And obviously, that is what leads to that feeling of being stuck, you know? And I think it's such a terrible feeling when you feel like you are overextended and there's like nothing that can go. Everything has to be there. But it sounds like a lot of what you do is paradigm shifting work around helping people to rethink. Not necessarily whether they want to completely eliminate their commitment to a family member, but maybe if they want to renegotiate what that looks like. So, what are the types of transformations that you've seen in clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not uncommon when I first start talking to people for them to even cry, like, because they're so overwhelmed. I mean, like, they're literally just like, I don't even know what to do. And the transformations that I've seen in clients are them going from, you know, this stressed out working all the time and yet not feeling like they're getting anything done, to seeing people be in the place where they can work shorter hours, they can leave work on time, have more time with their family, where they can actually get quality work done. So not just answer a bunch of random emails, but actually move ahead on projects. I've seen people also get out of just the survival mode of, I just have to get through the day, to more of the dreaming mode, where they can start to think about things like, maybe there's this hobby I want to pursue, or this other business idea that would be fun, or, you know, this volunteer thing I want to do that goes beyond just survival. And this is something I see on a consistent basis. And one of the biggest things I think people learn through the process of coaching is, number one, life is never perfect. So if you're expecting that it will be perfect, that's how you end up constantly frustrated, because you're like, I had a plan, it didn't go perfectly, and now it's all over, you know, versus, okay, how can I adapt or adjust? And secondly, I think it really is getting that internal sense that you do have choices you can make in your life, that you aren't just a victim to your circumstances, and there are ways you can set boundaries, you can say no to things, you can take on more of the right work, less of the wrong work, so that you can really have a sense of moving towards what's important to you, versus, like you were saying before, just feeling like everything is due to obligation and there's just no hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important, because the sense that you have options definitely does create that hope and that energy of possibility. And it sounds like it also encourages personal responsibility for our choices.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes it's very easy to slip into victimhood around being overscheduled, as if, you know, some monster has come along and taken all the time away from us, taken away all of our agency and our ability to choose. But yeah, it's really important to take ownership of that. So what is a simple paradigm shift that can make a big difference in the relationship that people have with time?
Yeah, well, one simple paradigm shift, which may seem obvious, but is not obvious to very many people, is time is limited. There is a finite amount of time. So if you intend to get something done, you really need to find a place on your calendar for that to happen. And if there is no room, literally, on your calendar for something to happen, it's either not happening or you need to take something off your calendar to make space. And I know that sounds so basic, but many of the people that come to me have never thought about time that way. And so they're just perpetually frustrated because they don't understand why they can't fit everything in.
Yeah, because there's this thing where, if we're not really great at saying no when we need to, and setting boundaries when we need to, we can just drift into this place of having our calendar belong to everyone else. And I've definitely seen people be double booked and triple booked for reasons like that. And it's hard, because if we've grown up, I think, people pleasing, or thinking that saying no was bad, or that people would not like us or disapprove of us if we said no, then, you know, it becomes, I think, more difficult to begin to do that in adulthood.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very true. And we do have to break patterns of behavior. And a lot of times, like I was even talking to a coaching client this morning about this, we have all these assumptions about what is or is not possible, or what people do or do not expect of us. And many times they simply are assumptions. And when we test them, we realize, oh, I was putting all this pressure on myself, or I felt like there was no way I could say no to this, or there was no way I could do this or that. And really, it was all in our head. It was never real. Mm-hmm. But it was these boxes that we put ourselves in. And it's not till you push against them and realize that they actually aren't real that you can start to step into what you do want for your life and the paradigms you do want to live by. And, you know, this really takes courage, because I think that it's almost not socially acceptable to not be stressed out. I know that sounds weird, but like, I think as entrepreneurs, we're both entrepreneurs, or even people in business world, it's almost like if you were to be like, yeah, I'm totally peaceful and life is great, that like, it'd be like, well, what's your problem? Like, why aren't you stressed out like me? Or there can be a thing of like, well, like, so maybe you have a peaceful lifestyle, but maybe your business doesn't grow as fast as theirs, or whatever. You're not promoted as fast. People can then be like, well, I'm sorry, you're just an underachiever because you're not stressed out like me and like pulling out your hair, but yet, you know, your revenue or your promotions growing every year. So, obviously you're wrong. And the thing is that at the end of the day, like, we each have our own lives. And so you need to define, like, I talk about this actually in my first book, Three Secrets to Effective Time Investment. Like, you need to define your definition of success. You need to live your life according to it. If other people want to be all stressed out, let them be stressed out. But that doesn't mean that you need to live that way or something's wrong with you if you choose not to accept that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, that's really important. And it also reminds me of the importance of having a clear set of values by which you manage your time. Because when we, at least in my experience, when we don't know what we truly value, and when what we say is important is not aligning with how we're spending our time, we feel that dissonance, we feel that disconnect, and it can lead to, you know, depression, frustration, confusion, and a general dissatisfaction with our lives that's really just rooted in the fact that we're not internally aligned. So, yeah, I definitely think that getting clear about values is like an excellent place to start, because I think at that point it stops feeling like you're saying no to someone or saying no to these things you might want to do, and instead you're saying yes to all the things you've already decided are important.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk about your movement into Divine Time Management. So that transition happened a few years ago. What led you to branch out into the faith-based vertical of this topic?
Yeah. So this was a very unexpected transition. So, you know, I was very surprised when I ended up doing time management coaching. That was not something that I ever expected to do. And I would say I was almost more surprised when I ended up branching into this faith-based part of work, because my faith has been a big part of my life, my whole life, but it's just not really something that I brought into my work. It was like, if someone was a Christian and we happened to be working together one-on-one, fine, we'd talk about it. But I work with people from all different backgrounds, and so this was just not even on my radar. But in 2015, there were basically two things that happened. So one was, and I say this just because there'll probably be people listening to this podcast who might be going through something similar, so I just want to normalize this. I actually started to lose my passion for what I had been doing. I had been doing time management coaching for 6.5 years. I had a couple books written on the subject. I was an international expert. And yet I was starting to feel a bit fake in terms of how much I enjoyed it. And that made me really nervous, because it's important to me to be authentic and to be passionate about what I'm doing. And I was like, well, what else would I do if I don't do this, you know? And so that was happening, and I didn't really know how to deal with it. And at the same time, I'm someone of prayer, and I really felt like God started to tell me, like, Elizabeth, you need to give me the glory in your business. You need to be more open about the role that I play in your time management. You need to be more visible. And that also scared me, because I like being politically correct. I like people liking me. I don't really like drama. And I also didn't know what that meant. Like, did that mean I shut down entirely my time management coaching? It was just like a very kind of angsty place to be. But through prayer, and I actually had a business coach at the time also, I came to the idea of, instead of completely changing my business, starting a Christian division. So what that looks like is I have a Divine Time Management group coaching program, which is a Christian approach to time management, and as it sounds like, creatively named, it's a group. So that started about 2 years ago, is still going on today, and I just absolutely love that. And then at the same time, God put on my heart this idea for this book, which I started initially having the idea phase for about 2 years ago in the fall. And it was just so fascinating because one part of me was absolutely terrified of rejection. But what I discovered was that people have overall been amazingly supportive. There's been a few people that send nasty emails and tell me they don't like what I'm doing. But by and large, the people who have a similar faith base to me are just like, this is awesome. Like, I was new, you're a Christian. I'm so glad you shared about this. And then even people that don't necessarily share my faith background have just really appreciated my authenticity. They're like, Elizabeth, we always knew this was a big part of your life and who you are. And we just so appreciate that you're being authentic to yourself. So it was for me, a scary transition, but similar to how we were talking about before with boundaries, I realized that so much of the walls I had put up were in my own head. It wasn't really about other people. It was about me limiting myself and thinking that somehow this was inappropriate or unacceptable to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're in a time where authenticity is valued more and more to a large degree because we're seeing so much duplicity. We're seeing so much inauthenticity that when someone's just saying, this is who I am, this is what I believe, this is what's important to me, it's really refreshing, you know, even for people who don't share, you know, the same faith. And I think even if they don't share your specific set of beliefs, a lot of people can appreciate the idea of having their life or their time specifically be guided by a set of principles that are bigger than they are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So let's talk about the new book. You've got a new book coming out this fall on the topic of divine time management. So let's hear the key principles of this book and a little bit about the process of how you went about writing it.
Absolutely. So this book is very different than my first two. My first two were very much business time management books and were basically helping type B people be more type A. Mm-hmm. So how can you like learn how to plan, learn to organize yourself, all that good stuff. And this book, Divine Time Management, is helping type A people chill out. So it's very different. It was so humbling because I had to change a lot in writing this book. But the three key sections of the book are these. The first is trusting God at the center. The second is love for your true identity. And then the third is alignment with God. And just in short about those three sections, the concept of trusting God at the center is that as people of faith, it's great if we of course pray about what we're doing, but God really convicted me that we should be seeking Him first and His plans first, not making our own plans and then asking Him to bless them. Because that's kind of putting us at the center and God as an ancillary, a supporting character. Then with the second part about loving your true identity, I know this doesn't seem related to time on the surface, but what I've really discovered going back to what you're saying about authenticity is so many of us, including myself, can have basically this image that we feel like we need to live up to. And when we're so focused on preserving this image, we can end up spending our times in a lot of ways that aren't actually authentic to what we want to be doing. And so the way to get out of that is to really embrace our true identity and who we truly are, not constantly try to project this image of what we think we should be. And then the final section is on alignment with God. And that's based on the verses where they talk about, or where Jesus says that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And what God really put on my heart there is so often we get really fixated on, you know, having our plans and achieving these goals and doing all these tasks when God really asks us to love as our primary aim. Like, if we are loving him, loving other people, and loving ourselves, we're doing the right thing, and he can take care of everything else. But if we're doing all the other things and we're forgetting about love, we've missed the point. So that's basically the construct of the book. And in the process of writing it, I was just deeply convicted. I would write the chapters and I would literally be in tears because I'd be like, I'm so sorry. I've been doing this all wrong. Like, I even have a public apology at the beginning of my book where I'm like, I'm sorry for advocating certain things that actually weren't aligned with God. Please forgive me.
Oh my goodness, that's funny. What kind of people do you think could most benefit from the book and why?
Yeah, well, I would say that probably the people that could most benefit would be Christians who are stressed out. So they're people of faith and they know that their yoke should be easy and their burden should be light and they should be experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, like peace and joy and love and hope, but they're just not. They really aren't. And this really offers a way to take the load and the burden off of themselves and to put it back where it belongs, on God and on Jesus, to be the ones that are carrying those heavy yokes for us so we can live in joy and peace.
Yes, for sure. What type of transformation do you think can take place for them? Because, sometimes people think that they're beyond repair. They just think their situation is hopeless.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been really fascinating because I've had this Divine Time Management group coaching program for a couple of years. And so that's given me an opportunity to just see people's growth and development with these principles. And I've just been awe-inspired by the members of this group. And I have seen members of this group go through unemployment with peace, total peace and joy and trust in the Lord. I've seen them go through health issues like cancer or other things and like just be trusting the Lord, financial issues, personal relationship issues. And like the greatest thing I think that you get from being part of my group coaching program, or specifically we're talking about the book is just an ability to be at peace and to relax. And I think we live under so much pressure and so much stress that is unnecessary because of us taking it all on, like I was saying before. And if you're reading this book, if you read this book at the end of it, I would be shocked if you weren't more peaceful, more joyful, realize that there was a bunch of stuff you were putting in your schedule or maybe pressuring yourself to do that you didn't actually have to do. And then at the same time, just a much deeper relationship with God, because the book, like almost every page, mentions God multiple times. And at the core of this, it's about developing a richer, deeper, more trusting relationship with the one thing, with God, who can actually do something about everything that's causing us anxiety or stands in our way.
Where can people learn more about the book if they've listened to this and they're excited and they're thinking, this is exactly what I need? Exactly how they can get the book.
Great. So what I encourage people to do is go to divinetimebook.com. So again, that's divinetimebook.com. When you go there, you'll be able to find out where you can order the book. So that would be Amazon, Barnes & Noble, lots of other retailers. It's available in print, ebook, and also audiobook. And for the people who listen to this prior to November 14th, I am offering a pre-order bonus on that same page, divinetimebook.com. And what that looks like is there'll be a free live 3-part virtual class with me to go through the book. And that'll be an opportunity to get encouragement from other people on the journey, to get your questions answered. I'll be there live. And also, honestly, to have incentive to read the book. Because if you're anything like me, I do read books every day, but I literally have a stack of unread books. I may have two stacks of unread books in my house. And
I really want people to not just buy my book, but read it. So if you come to the class, that'll be great incentive to do that, divinetimebook.com. And I'll also, for people that attend the class, be giving away some free signed copies of my book.
Very cool. Very cool. So all the information is there. I definitely encourage people to get the book, read the book, and most importantly, apply what you learned, and also check out the other services and programs that Elizabeth offers. Elizabeth, thanks for sharing your information and inspiration around the book.
Why, thank you. Thank you for having me.